This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to thank everyone that listens to Insight to Israel. Our numbers are increasing every Sunday and any other time they play Insight to Israel on America's Web Radio. Thank you guys for all that you do for bringing the truth to the grassroots of the United States of America, the patriot conservatives who stand with Israel and her successes as a country that leads the way in medicine, technology, agriculture, humanitarian work. Amazing, amazing what this little strip of land does in humanitarian work as it gives to the world, blesses the world with all of these things yet never gets acknowledgement, and as they struggle for their sovereignty and security at the hands of the leftist media and Islam. It cannot be said enough. But thank you guys for bringing it to the United States. I love you guys. You're the best. Also want to thank all of those that gave to Hershey's for Heroes. These soldiers have been turned inside out, upside down, and their lives are being changed. The morale boost that they are getting from seeing not just a chocolate bar. This is a message on each chocolate bar that Americans are sending, saying thank you for defending the Jewish state. You would not believe, and if you haven't seen Hershey's for Heroes 2, you need to find it on YouTube under Michael Gannot. You've got to find it. Send me an email. And if you go into the information section, you can find a link for Hershey's for Heroes to the Facebook page, and you can send a message to the Israeli soldiers. I'm telling you, I can't say it enough, and we need some more. I'm now having parents email me, call me, and say, Michael, my son or daughter is in the military. Would you please take them a Hershey's bar? Please give that morale boost. And so we need some, folks. Let's divvy up. Let's pull together. You know, I've gotten some emails that say, Michael, why don't you just email or send a letter to Hershey's and ask them to send you a bunch of chocolate bars. Well, you know what? That's the easy part. And why they're not selling in Israel, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you if they're leftist. I don't know what the problem is. But I don't want it from Hershey's. That's the easy part. I want Americans that believe in the Jewish state to show me that you believe in these soldiers by taking the time to order some kosher chocolate bars. You'll find the link on the Facebook page. Getting your box in the mail. In fact, I say order two or three. Get your box in the mail. Sit down with your friends, your family, your civic groups, your co-workers, your church, your synagogue, and take the time to put a note for a soldier. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. So, enough of that soapbox. Thank you for all those who gave to Hershey's for Heroes. It's amazing, amazing. I love going to the post office. I used to hate it back in the States, because I was afraid I was going to get a bill. You know, now I'm getting chocolate, and I'm not eating it. You know what I mean? I love it. I like to, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf. My cabinets are full. It's not sitting on the shelf. It's going, because the soldier's saying, Michael, come out to the Egyptian border. Michael, come to our base. I see him on the street, and I hand him a chocolate bar. And they're like, for what? And I show them the note. Wow. It's wow. It's wow. Anyway, thank you to everyone. I can stay on that all day long. It's beautiful. I am in a very special place right now. Here in Judea.
Benjamin. Samaria.
I'm in Samaria. Wow, I need to do Jaunt Through Samaria. I've done Jaunt Through Judea. If you haven't seen it on YouTube, find it. With Mark Pariser, with Zahava Englard. You need to look for it on YouTube under Michael Gannot. But I am in Samaria now. And I want to say, I've got two very special guests, a husband and wife. I haven't done a dynamic duo like this yet. It's pretty fantastic. They're both Americans. And I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself. Come closer.
All right. Hello, audience out there.
My name is Gedalia Bloom, and my wife, Elisheva.
Hi.
Now, tell me what your name is on Facebook, brother.
Okay, my name...
Gedalia, because that's the first I've heard that one.
My name on Facebook is Kenneth, which is the name that I was given at birth.
When I call you, I'm like, Kenneth!
when he calls me, and I hear this southern drawl, hey, Kenneth! And I said, who is this? He's like, what do you mean, who is this?
I'm offended you don't have my number in your cell.
To be honest with you, there's not many Southern Christians who call my cell phone, so it should be Michael Gonneau right away, for sure. No, but happy always to get his phone call. It's, you know, just like the soldiers who are getting these, getting this energy and this feedback from American support. Michael Gonneau is a walking parade for the Jewish people living in all of Israel, not just Judea and Samaria, but everywhere. And it's an honor having him in our home in Eli. And we hope that he comes back, often, and he brings some of his listener friends with him.
No, I'd love it. You know, I tell folks all the time, I get emails. How do you say your Hebrew name?
Gedalia.
Gedalia. Oh, it's written down.
It's written down. I wrote it down for
Gedalia.
You.
Gedalia. Now, how would I... Because I always, when someone tells me their name in Hebrew, it sounds similar in English because I know it's a biblical name.
Right. So...
That would be... It's not going to be Goliath.
No, so my name... So I'm not so sure if there's actually a translation... a translation of Gedalia is God is great, actually.
Oh, great. That's
so
amazing.
So I'm sure you hear that sometimes when you hear, right before Arabs end up,
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar. God is great.
Before they blow themselves up,
Right.
That's so nice.
So it's essentially the same translation, but I promise you I won't harm you. I'll give you a big hug if you say Gedalia.
Hey, brother, let me tell you something. Anything Jewish, I don't have to worry about it. I know there's peace behind it. You know what I mean? Because that's what this country's made of. That's what you strive for, even though you don't get it. So, and your wife, Elisheva, which I've heard that name a number of times. And
the equivalent would be Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Wow. What a woman. What a woman.
There were many.
What a woman. So, Kenneth, since that's easier for me to say, I hope you're not offended.
It's okay.
It's the goy in me. You know what I mean? I get tongue-tied a little sometimes. I remember we met back, it's been almost a year ago.
Right.
A year has gone by so quickly.
Well, it goes quickly when you're busy running around like a headless chicken, giving chocolate bars out on every single border of, I don't even know where you are. I see these videos you're posting, and I don't even think that you're able to publicize where you are.
You know, I'm glad I don't, but I will tell you this. Listen. You know, a man, when I first came here, he told me, he's a professor at the university in Jerusalem. He said, Michael, if you want to know the Jewish people in Israel, you do three things. You spend time with the military, which I do. You go to the shuk, mm-hmm. which I love.
Yeah.
And you ride the bus.
Yeah.
Which I get, you know what? I had an Audi for 1 year to the day before I came to this country. And getting rid of that car was the best thing I ever did. Mm. I get to ride the bus all across this God-kissed land, this Jewish labored state, and meet some of the best people.
Right.
I get to thank the soldiers when I walk up and down the aisle of that bus. Thank you for defending the Jewish state. You know, I am blessed to ride the bus.
Spoken like a true man on a tourist visa.
That's awesome. So we met at a Likud event?
What we met at was a conference regarding the sovereignty of Judea and Samaria.
That's right. I did a great video of everyone singing Hatikva after that.
Right. That was a beautiful event.
Yeah. Because we met because I think it was you or your wife needed a phone charger, and I loaned you my phone charger.
That's there,
yeah.
Yeah.
Was it that? Okay.
That's exactly.
You ended up taking it home.
Yeah. and then you brought it back to me. Thank you. I want to say thank you for that.
No problem.
It deserves, because you drove a long way to bring me that phone charger.
Well,
I felt like.
Well, because last year I had a premonition that at one day you'd have a radio show. And I figured...
Wow. I'm glad you didn't tell me. I might have been scared.
It's really hard to be a guest on a radio show if you're known for stealing chargers.
That's awesome. Kenneth, I brought you and your wife on here for a reason, because you and I have had some very interesting conversations. There's some folks that you just don't know their history, but you meet them, and you know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know them. And, you know, I want to start off this segment simply by, because you're how old?
I'm 35.
You're 35. You got a wife that you have four children with, so you obviously love her.
Mm-hmm.
Usually if a guy doesn't love his wife, he stops at one, you know what I mean? Because he thinks if he's going to get a divorce, he doesn't want all that child support, you know? So you obviously love your wife. How long have you guys been married?
I'm going to step back and let Alicia answer that one.
Ma'am?
9 years.
Wow,
yeah.
wow, that's great. You know, they say marriage is like a business. After the first, I think, six years, I think it is, then you're good to go if you make it that long. So,
oh, yeah.
But I can see, look, I see it in Kenneth's eyes. You're still in the honeymoon phase.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good to me.
So, you guys have been married. So, Kenneth, where are you from originally?
I was born in New York City and raised in New Jersey.
Okay. And tell me how old you are again.
I'm 35 years old.
35. And yourself, ma'am?
I was born in St. Louis, Missouri.
Ah, St. Louis.
Yeah.
You know where Granite City is?
I have no idea. I was 6 months old when my parents...
Okay. That's what it is. Granite City's outside. Okay. Never mind.
And we moved to Israel when I was five. My parents live in Ephrat.
Wow. I've been
so
to Ephrat. Zahava Englard lives there.
Yeah,
we just had her on the show last
mm-hmm.
week. She was actually my first interview for Insight to Israel.
That's awesome.
It was. And so your parents live in Ephrat.
Mm-hmm.
And how far is Ephrat from here?
A little over an hour.
A little over? Wow.
Not
wow,
so
I didn't
far.
Realize where I was.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm not able to get a mental image. I don't know if it's because of lack of sleep.
Or maybe it's the bus. You're talking to soldiers so much, you're not looking out the window.
That has a lot to do with it. Because I'm never looking out the window. So, wow, because where you live is amazing, and we're going to get to that. So, okay, so your parents came here when you were five.
Right.
And you would think you'd have an accent.
Yeah, you'd think. No, we kept speaking English at home. It was important for them that we kept up our level of English.
But you speak Hebrew.
Yeah.
Fluently.
Sure. Yeah.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm, obviously.
So, Kenneth, you came here at a different time in your life, though.
Yeah, I came here. Actually, the first time I came to Israel was on a Birthright program, the first Birthright program in 2000.
And Birthright, could you, for the audience, just give a brief definition?
Yeah, so Birthright is essentially it's an organization of financiers that raise hundreds of millions of dollars in order to send Jewish college students to Israel to create real connections with the land of Israel when, in fact, there's a lacking at that point. It's not a religious or it's a non-denominated, but it's, you know, for people with Jewish mother and fathers who...
Absolutely.
So that was my first connection with the land of Israel.
And I'll tell you, I think it's a fantastic program because, you know, too many times, and they did I just read a poll, and I apologize if the numbers are a little fuzzy, that over 50% of the Jews in the United States cannot relate to Israel.
Yeah.
Now, you know what's amazing to me? When I ride the bus, mm-hmm. when I lived in Jerusalem, I'm temporarily down on the coast right now, but when I would ride the bus and meet Jews from all over the world mm-hmm. that moved here, it's beautiful.
It's amazing.
It is the most amazing thing.
Just on our street.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just in our street, there's a family originally from India. There's a family from England.
Morocco.
Didn't they just find a new tribe? Not a new tribe, but a tribe that... Because, look, you know what's amazing? I walk up and down the street in Jerusalem, and I'm looking at the descendants of David.
Right.
The tribe of Judah. Mm-hmm. Every face I see. Now, I know that's starting to change on a small scale. Go ahead. But what's the other tribe?
B'nai Menashe from
Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin? Is it Benjamin?
No.
Menashe. Manasseh.
Right.
The tribe of Manasseh.
Right. In which they're from the far. They're further east, and
wow.
I mean, listen. They're coming to the state of Israel, and they're converting to you know what Judaism today is in Israel. But overall, that they have the traditions. They have the They follow the Torah.
But let me say this, and I don't want to. You know what's amazing though, about being Jewish. Before anything else, you were Jewish by design. And I think, and I know there's people that convert. I'm not negating that.
Mm-hmm.
But the most beautiful thing is, you are Jew by design.
Well, his family are priests as well.
You're in the Levitical tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, you didn't tell me that, brother. That puts a whole new twist on it. I'm sitting here talking about the tribe of David, Judah, and here I am talking to a Levitical priest or the line of. Wow, that's fascinating. So, okay, so you came here on birthright.
Right.
And... so what did you think? What was your first?
My first impression?
Yeah.
I think my first impression was, I think it all sums up when I was sitting in a cafe, and I remember it's this day. I was sitting in a cafe, I think for the first couple days being in Jerusalem, being in Israel, and the waitress came over and was excited to see these American college students come for the first time who didn't even know each other, and now they're coming and sitting in a cafe together. And the discussion led to the waitress simply saying, homesickness is the only sickness. You know, welcome home, like you're home.
Absolutely.
And at that point, for me, I think everything just clicked. Everything clicked. And I'm not saying that, you know, growing up in America for 25 years or 24 years, whatever, I was there. You know, obviously it was my home. And I think my hometown, you know, that, you know, I put in East Windsor, New Jersey. But when I look at as this Jewish people, that we live as a collective. We don't live as an individual people. We live as a collective people.
You have to.
We have to. And that's why I think that we're able to learn from generation to generation to carry on the experiences from Jews from 1,000 years ago and apply them to today. So with that being said, through this collective, that I feel like that America was my home, but it was my temple.
Absolutely.
It was a passageway.
Look, you know, I'll tell you, I've been accused of a lot of things since I've been here. I've been accused of being ultra-right wing, which maybe I am, but I'm proud of that. You know why? Because I'm a man of principle.
Right.
I don't believe in playing games with folks and pitter-pattering around, because you know why? Opinions will get you killed. The truth will set you free.
Right.
And if we can't look folks in the eye, and I'll tell you, that's why I love this country. These folks, whether I like it or not, they don't care about my emotional state. They'll look me in the eye.
They don't pull any punches.
I love it. After working in Washington, D.C., in politics, patting on the back, you know, whispering in the ear, handing out business cards, call me, who are you? You know? Man, I'm telling you, straight up, that's what I love.
You know what I love? On a very simple terms, I think, you know, Elishev and I have spoken about this before, is when you sit down in a restaurant in Israel, you're not going to get a waitress coming up to you going, "Hi, sir, how are you today? Very nice to meet you. What can I get you? Can I get you?" It's like, you know, they throw the menu on the table, and they're like, when you're ready, this is L.
Oh, dude, listen. I'm glad you said that, because there's the one thing I've never liked. When I'm sitting trying to eat it, this is why, you know, we have, and I don't even like it. You got places like Hooters and stuff like that. God forbid. Some chick has got to wear nylons to cover up her cellulite, you know, and she's throwing herself around in your face while you're trying to eat your hamburger. Calling me sweetie. I looked at a girl one time. She's like, "Hey, sweetheart." And I said, "Listen, first of all, you don't know me, okay? So let's not get on a personal, emotional basis. I'm just here to eat, okay?" So let's cut it. Here, I love it. I don't have some chick trying to divvy me up for a tip, you know. Let's eat and be done and move forward. Back on topic. So, look, this country is amazing, and I respect you. So you moved here when you were how old?
Yeah, so I essentially moved here when I was 24 years old.
24.
First time you came here, you were 21.
First time I came here, I was 21. I came back.
In 2000.
Right, in 2000, I came here when I was 21, and I came back a couple of years later when I was 24. And actually, I came through an organization, that Elisheva was actually doing her national service.
Oh, nice.
So she was actually staff on a trip that I was
in. I prefer an M16, but that's just as good.
Well, I was doing the bus thing. That was my...
Really?
My position was to be on the bus and talk to people, make them feel comfortable,
right,
and take care of anything they needed.
Nice.
And show them the land, so that's what...
No, listen.
The bus is great.
Everybody plays a role, and I think it's amazing. I think it is amazing that people give back.
What, that national service, you're saying?
Yeah,
well,
national service.
Well, I could have gone to the Army as well, and I was actually accepted to a very good job in the Army, a teaching position. But my take was I want to contribute in the best way possible,
right,
utilizing my talents and being in the best place I could be to make a difference.
Absolutely.
So I went both routes and saw where I got accepted and decided that Livnot Livnot was a way to connect to people unaffiliated in America.
What's the name of it?
Livnot Livnot. It means to build and to be built.
Nice. Now, is that how you met him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing like divine providence. Divine providence.
Nothing like it.
The unseen
hand.
It was
definitely that.
That's right.
It was definitely
the unseen
that
hand. Wow. So you came with that organization.
Right.
And look, there's a lot of things that the Israeli government, which I'm thankful for, incentives to come home.
Right.
I think that sometimes folks don't come for the right reasons, and I say that with regard. But
what's the difference?
They're here.
Eventually, they'll be here, and eventually, whatever they do, and they continue living here,
right,
they'll end up staying for the real reasons.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely correct. And I'm very thankful that there are things that the government does to help folks to come here. It's amazing. You know, I get a lot of emails from older folks on my Facebook page that are Jewish, and I'm telling you, they want to be here.
Yeah.
Is there some type of program that helps them if they're older?
Well, I'm not so sure.
We'll talk about that off the air, but
yeah,
but okay. I want to emphasize the fact that I'm thankful the Israeli government helps those that want to be here.
Absolutely.
And establish their life back home in the Jewish state. So you get here, and then what? Here's Kenneth.
The second time.
The second time.
So I get here, I find a nice beach chair on the Mediterranean, and I sip on martinis.
I don't believe that.
No, I didn't do that. Listen, I didn't come here to sit on vacation. I came to a young country that's being built, and... You know, to take the words from Elisheva's mother at one point, I picked up the pen and I started writing the history of the Jewish state.
Absolutely.
Wow. And to have my own contribution to the building. You know, it's a young, small country. I don't think people understand that. You know, 6-7 million Jews in a small state the size of New Jersey, you can make a lot of noise. You could do a lot of great things in this
absolutely
country. Like you're seeing as a Southern Christian, coming as on a tourist visa, what the impression that you're making on an individual basis.
And the fact this isn't a perfect country, which you hear a lot, is opportunity for a lot of change.
Yeah, you know...
You can make your own mark.
Look, honestly, I mean, I was just a little guy in D.C. I worked my butt off. And I only... You know, you can only do so much in your circle of influence, which is a lot if you work hard. I never thought I'd have a radio show. But there was a message that needed to be sent, and people in the state saw that, and they wanted it. They wanted
right
it, and the people I've gotten to meet through that. So you started writing. You started writing.
Virtual, not literally.
Right, but his life, as far as making a new life for yourself and
exactly
having an impact on
the
Jewish
for sure
state.
Getting married and building a family here, and you know,
leaving it all.
What we're doing,
that takes a lot.
There's the Parsha, right? Every week, Jews read a certain portion of the Torah.
Uh-huh.
So it was just his birthday, and the portion of his birthday for that week is Lech Lecha, which talks about Abraham leaving it all, not even knowing where he was going. Just God said, go, and he said,
by faith,
I'm going.
By
and
faith.
I'm going home, and I know that I'm going home. I don't know where a home is exactly, but I'm following and I'm going, and that's what he did.
But you know what I had that I had that Abraham didn't have, but he had, obviously, he spoke to God directly. I didn't have that, but at least I knew.
I knew
the land I was coming to. I knew at least the land I was coming to.
Right.
So I knew it was already my home.
Right.
He was coming to a place where he didn't know what was going on.
He didn't know the borders.
He didn't know anything.
Right.
So for me to come here, you know, it's interesting that a lot of people say they don't come to Israel. They don't move to Israel. Family is too important to them. They can't leave their family.
Ugh.
And I say, you know what? 100%. Family for me is so important to me that I want to build my family in Israel. So, yes, the family is important to me. The family doesn't yet exist at the time when I came here.
Right.
That's important to me. I want to make sure that I'm building my family here in the land of Israel. And that God, we have four beautiful children, and they're growing up in a place that has freedoms and just the value system that we want to communicate to our children. They're getting everything here in our community of Eli.
You know, it's amazing, and I've said this 1,000 times, and I think it bears repeating, to see children, grammar school children, all over this country, running, playing in packs with no adult accompaniment. You cannot do that any longer. I would venture to have any of these people listening, please send me an email. Michael A. Gano, G-A-N-O-E, at gmail.com. You cannot do that in the States any longer. This is not a blown-up media thing. We have a serious immorality problem in the United States. We have a very serious problem. But to see that here, I'm telling you, it brings tears to my eyes. When I see these children, and I don't understand everything, but you can see the joy in their face. You can hear it in their voice, their laughter, when they're swinging on the swing and walking down the street, and you've got big sister catering to little sister and little brother and got their hand on the shoulders and giving them direction. I'm telling you, man, you came to the right place. Your children are blessed. You're blessed, man.
They're being raised with a level of responsibility, which, you know,
you're, and morality.
And morality. But listen, just on a superficial level, I mean, you're seeing a lot, and I follow a lot of things that's going on in America because, again, I have family there, and it's interesting to me. It's in my native language. But I'm seeing a lot of questions regarding school children being raised without playing games, without losing. No losers.
Right.
Everybody's going to move ahead in the grade.
Yeah.
And what it does, it takes away the sense of individual responsibility.
Say it again?
It takes away from the sense of individual responsibility.
That is a key word, brother.
Responsible to be able to walk from point A to point B with your younger brother.
Right.
To get responsibility, to say, no, you have a responsibility, and you have to do this. And, you know, and yes, you are going to fall down, you are going to scrape your knee, you are going to cry. That's life. You know?
You know? Tell me that again. It's what?
You fall down, you scrape your knee, you start bleeding, you cry, and you tell your kid to get up. That's life.
That's life.
But you know what? You help them up, though. You don't pick them up.
Right.
You give them a hand, and you take a little...
You help them halfway.
You take 30% of the weight off their legs.
Right.
But you let them do the 70% by themselves.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow. I think that I'm back in the... I think I'm living back in the 1800s with that mentality, because that hadn't been around for... There's a lot of people that still hold it, but...
As well as, I mean, it's very stronger that we're raising our kids with a sense of self, that they know who they are, and they know what they recognize the larger picture from age zero. They know that they're part of something greater. They're part of a destiny of a people as well as their own personal destiny. And what we're doing personally also is giving them examples that they can do whatever they want, and they can make a difference and forge their own path and do whatever they want.
When our oldest daughter was about 3 years old, she was walking down the street with during the fall. The winter was turning. It was about now, and the flowers are starting to fall down off the flower petals falling on the ground. And you know, she's walking with Elisheva and made a comment that said, "Oh, don't worry, you know, Dad could fix it."
Oh, wow, nice.
So we're showing, and we're teaching, we're giving them the tools to do it.
Right.
And I think that's important, that we're giving them the tools to be builders.
Yeah. Look, wow, you know what? I didn't mean to get off topic. Look, some of this stuff you guys are saying, it's beautiful. It's amazing. But we're going to come back.
Okay.
And we're going to get, look, exactly what you're saying, forging the way, is going to lead into the next segment of what you guys are currently doing here in Judea and Samaria. That is amazing. Forging the way. Wow. So it...
Stay tuned.
This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. We'll be right back. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school.
While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gonneau. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
And we're back. This is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel. Wow. Wow. Kenneth, great first segment because talking about forging a way. Elisheva, I had to go pick up your daughter. Now, how old's your daughter? She's in school.
She's in daycare.
Daycare, okay.
She's about a year and a half years old.
Year and a half. Now, how old's your oldest one?
She's seven.
Seven. How old's your next oldest one?
Seven, five, four, almost two.
Now, you have, what's the ratio?
Two girls, one boy, one girl.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Kenneth, I want to say thank you for taking the time, brother, out of your busy schedule. You live in a great area. Could you tell us the name again?
Yeah, so the community is called Eli, E-L-I, and it's located in the Binyamin region, north of Jerusalem, and just east of Tel Aviv. And we're in a very high elevation.
And it's a very disputed area.
I mean, not for me. I don't think for you either.
No, not for me either. But the left and Islam kind of want to, they don't want you here.
Yeah, well, I mean, according to my understanding, that was taught to me by a very senior, a Pentagon intelligence officer. he told me that that in Islam, when you convert to Islam or when you are a Muslim, you can't convert out.
Yeah, you'll die.
Right. According to the strictest laws, whether they actually go through it or not, it's punishable by death. The same holds true for land. If the land was ever in the control of Muslims, then it's considered it can never be taken away from Muslim rule.
Right.
So with that being said, is that the land that we live in Eli, a part of Judea and Samaria, was once controlled through the Ottomans and the Jordanians.
Right.
And it was controlled even before the British, this land was controlled through Muslims, so they feel that they can't give that up, which is why you see Benjamin Netanyahu right now making sure that the Arabs say outright,
or Muslims,
Muslims,
yeah,
that there's no agreement unless they recognize Israel as a Jewish state.
Yeah, they're never going
to
do it.
Now, it's not just semantics.
Right.
You have
right.
to understand this. By them saying it, it goes against the Quran. By
right.
saying that once it's in the hands of Muslims, it cannot be released.
Right.
So what Benjamin Netanyahu is doing, he's playing a game. He's playing a game because he knows they're not going to accept it.
Right. I would not want to be in that man's shoes. I just, you know, I didn't agree with the prisoner release to negotiate to even come to the negotiating table. We know that Mahmoud Abbas, who's the head of the Palestinian Authority, the man's a liar. I've seen his videos on YouTube where he openly says that he sent people to kill Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me add to what you're saying. Islam always says along with that, wherever you can hear the call to prayer, that's Jewish land. That's Islamic land.
Right.
That's Muslim land. And I think Americans need to take note of that, as Martin O'Malley, the governor of Maryland, as $100 million donated by Turkey, dedicated back in the summer the country's largest mosque outside of Washington, D.C.
Well, I think if Americans should be concerned with anything, it shouldn't necessarily be the again, you might disagree, but I don't think what I'm saying is I think that the most pressing issue today for America is knowing that there's investment capital coming in from other countries, from non-democratic countries,
right?
From countries like Turkey, who are locking up press because right. they're reporting from Saudi Arabia, who doesn't let women drive.
Right.
Right. This is this hundreds of millions of dollars are coming in from these.
And Saudi Arabia also marries off like 9-year-old kids, girls.
Well, it's happening. But I'm talking about, you know, how it applies to American culture.
Right.
And I think that people just need to ask questions, and people need to say, what kind of strings are attached to this money?
Right.
Because no one's giving money for the sake of giving money.
Right. And the fact that we have 36 Muslim training camps in the United States right now, that is... But, look, here at the end of the day, this is a fantastic neighborhood. Now, why? Why? Now, how? First of all, you and your wife met... Well, was she trying to... She's on. Were you on a bus? And she said, hey, newcomer.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. when I stepped off the plane, she had some cake. She gave me a piece of cake as I stepped off the plane.
Did you kiss the ground?
No, I didn't kiss the ground. Did I? No, maybe the first time I might have kissed the ground.
Okay.
I'm not so sure.
Anyway, so she gave you some cake.
Yeah, she gave me some cake. Then we started talking little bit by little bit. I was here for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we got to know each other, and then we ended up staying in contact.
Yeah. How long did you know each other before you were married?
A year.
A year. They do things differently here, which I like. From my understanding, traveling the country, dating is a very serious thing because it's with the hopes of leading to marriage, not this casual stuff where you date for 2 years and then we break up because we're not happy. And some people even live together, which I'm not so much for.
Right.
But how did you, like, when did you know that, yeah, this is the woman, Elisheva is the woman I want to spend my life with?
Well, I think I said that the first time when I was walking with one of my friends in the old city of Jerusalem. And she was, like, walking ahead, and I turned to him. I said, that's the girl I'm going to marry, or that's the kind of girl I'm going to marry, something of that sort.
Yeah. Look, you know what? I have to say, and I'm not Jewish. I know Judaism. I've studied Torah. Maybe not to the extent of some of the rabbis, but I know enough. And I've studied the surface stuff and some depth. But I have to say that I highly respect the religious women in this country. There is a purity. Like, I'm not saying all of them are perfect, but compared to some of the things maybe I see in Tel Aviv, you know, and I think a lot of that has to do with, and they're more secular, and I think people understand that. I've talked about it before, but there is an aura that those women they carry respect,
right?
And I can understand how you would say to yourself, you know what? That's a woman that I want to marry. That's I respect that man, and you're blessed.
A woman who respects herself is, you know, you respect your mother, hopefully.
Of course.
And they say you want to marry a woman who is kind of like your the personality of your mother with
right.
self respect. That's the kind of woman you want to marry. Now, if you take a girl home to meet your mother, and she's, you know, you met her at a whatever, she was a waitress at one of these sports bars. that maybe lacked a little self-respect, whatever it was, then there's going to be something missing, I think, from the relationship. Because if you're married to anybody, you know, there's always a level of breaking down and building. And if somebody is coming to the relationship with a self-respect to say, I'm going to cover up, not because I'm not comfortable with my body,
right,
but because when you walk around with your iPod, Your iPad, your tablet, or whatever,
yeah,
you put in 3-5 different cases because it's precious to you, right?
Right.
You're protecting it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean because you don't, well, you know, it's not a good thing or whatever it is.
Right.
But also, like a woman, like I think that a woman who covers herself up, and I'm not talking about a complete,
right. We're not talking about Islamic or anything like that.
Right. I mean,
but
I think
dressing
that's
respectable.
Right.
As well as a man should. Let's have a balance here.
No, of course. I don't think, yeah.
So, look, at the end of the day, the women in this country are strong. The people in this country are strong, because you've had to be.
Right.
And you know what? This is the one thing I'm thankful for at the end of the day, and we'll move on. But you're blessed. You have 4 children, and God is in the center of your marriage.
Right.
That is what gets you through the tough times. Yeah. That is what keeps you married, for 60, 70 years, a lifetime, you know? And, yeah, maybe there's a few exceptions to that, but overall, you're a blessed man. So, well, how in the world did you decide to move out here? Was this, you close your eyes, put your finger on the map thing, or?
No, so, you know, specifically, we wanted to live in Judea and Samaria because...
Hey, little lady. How are you doing? What's your name?
This is Michael. This is Tiferet. Oh, you got a medal? Whoa, Maccabi.
Ah, Maccabi, nice. So we decided to
live in Judea or Samaria. Why? Because for me, the reason why I came here in the first place, and I think I discussed this before with you, is that I felt like I was coming home. I was returning to the place of my birth.
Right.
Okay, not of my specific birth, but of the Jewish people's birth. So that being said, if you go in a time machine and you go back 2,000 years before the exile of the Jews, you know, by the Romans, where's the center of life for the Jewish people? The center of life for the Jewish people was Judea and Samaria. Okay,
yeah.
Judea and Samaria, with Jerusalem being the center, the soul of everything.
Absolutely.
So now fast forward to you know, pre-state, all the Jewish people are finally returning after what's going on in Europe and the Arab countries, whatever it is. They're all converging back to this land. Why didn't we go to Africa? Why didn't we go to Alaska? It's not just about a land.
Right.
It's about this land specifically. This is the land of the Jewish people. So when you know, to tie it together, if we give up our legitimacy to this land of Judea and Samaria, we give up our legitimacy to any other place. Because we came back to Tel Aviv, we came back to Haifa, we came back to Tzfat, we came back to Eilat. Why? Because this land was where the Jewish people were settled, but the center was in Judea and Samaria.
Right. No, you're right. It's mentioned all through the Bible.
So we came back and we wanted to live in Judea and Samaria because, like I said before, we want to pick up the pen and start writing history and make our impression and to build and to grow for our children and our grandchildren or great-grandchildren to secure their future in our land.
Yeah.
In our small little strip of land in this huge globe.
And you're like a pioneer out here, to a degree.
I mean, I don't feel like much of a pioneer, but I think that if you come from a major city, yes, we live in a rural area. You know, we have buses, we have cars.
Of course.
But
there's not a large population like in this area that you live. Is there how many people live in this?
So in Ely, there's about 650 families.
Okay.
Maybe 650 to 700 families.
Wow.
It's generally small, but I'll tell you what, it's a very small, nice community. Where you see this in America with the Amish when they're doing these barn building.
Yeah, everybody works together.
How the community is. I mean,
yeah.
This is the kind of community that we live in.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
There's a lot of barn building here in Ely.
In Toccoa, I've seen that a lot. And in Fraught, where people all know each other, the neighbors personally know each other.
Right.
And that's an amazing thing, because many times today we don't take the time to know who our neighbors are.
When we first got here about five, six years ago, our car had broken down, and we were meant to go away for the weekend. So we had a list of phone numbers of everybody in the community, and we sent an SMS to everybody asking them if, by chance, that they weren't using their car for the weekend, if we could use it. Within 5 minutes, we got about 8 responses.
Wow.
Some of them yes, some of them no, but we had a choice what kind of car we wanted, which is great. So that's
nice.
The kind of community it is.
Wow. You can't do that in the United States. It's like, that's
you got to call the insurance company. You got to do this, you got to do that.
Wow, that's fascinating. You know, look, let's talk about what you guys do here in this little community. And yet has a big impact on Judea and Samaria.
Okay.
Because right now, this country in general, but specifically here in Judea and Samaria, you have an Islamic front that's trying to stop you and do away with your communities. You have a leftist front, a lot of it from Europe. Unfortunately, a lot of these folks, I just read a post today, a lot of these folks are quote-unquote Christian, which they are not. That are boycotting your businesses here.
Right.
And yet you're bringing that together. You're overcoming that. Let's share with us a little bit about that.
All right, well, the legitimacy of living in Judea and Samaria is an ideological one. It's a political one. the tools that are being used right now in order to, as a front against the communities of Judea and Samaria, is through economics. There's, you know, the boycott groups, the EU, state heads, the United States, different groups are saying, we know what to do to communities that we don't agree with. We're going to boycott them. We're going to starve them. We're going to choke them out. Let's not bring any money to them because we know money is strength.
Right. Okay? Right.
So great. I woke up one morning and I said, we have to do something. I turned to Eli Shev. I said, we have to do something. What can we do? We're just two simple people. Simple lives. We don't have $1 million. We don't have any financial backings. We just have our hearts and our minds. And our hands. What can we do? So this is about 5 years ago. So we said, you know what? We could start a blog and we could do this. We could have a radio show. You know, but we didn't want to compete with you. I also knew you were going to have a radio. But there was enough people talking. Okay? There's enough people talking and speaking and going on tours and talking to news. But for us, it didn't change anything on the ground. When you walk out of your house and you see a store and you ask them, oh, did such and such person on CNN, when they spoke to defend you, did you feel a difference from yesterday and today? And the answer is no. All right, so what do we do to strengthen this business? So my wife and I got together and said, you know what? We think that the loud voice that's coming from the world, from the EU, from the left, it's of course from the Arab countries, is that the Jewish people need to leave Judea and Samaria, and we're going to boycott them. That's the voice. We took a guess, and we said, you know what? We think that these people are not a majority. They're backed by a lot of funds.
Right.
And they have a big organizations, but they're not a majority of the people. The people on the ground don't necessarily agree with creating another Arab state.
And especially,
pushing Jews out and saying that we're going to ethnically cleanse a land of Jews to create an Arab state, which no one would ever even think about doing. That would be racist if it was any other people.
Right.
But it's
right.
Not racist to do it against the Jewish people. So we decided, you know what? Let's focus on business. Let's get the guy down the street with two employees. Let's try to find a way to get him two or three more customers every month. That's going to make a big difference.
Right.
And let's do this with every single business in Judea and Samaria. Okay, so fast forward 4.5 years. What do we have?
So you've done this for 4 years now.
We've been doing this for 4.5 years.
Wow.
Sacrifice is not even the word. We're giving our lives. We're not buying cheese, you know? We're anything that comes in as far as revenue, we're reinvesting it into this project. We're looking to grow. We're looking to have it explode. We want it huge. 4.5 years later, what do we have? We have 2,000 businesses that are listed on our website. Our website's in Hebrew. It's called Dape Katom, which is the orange pages, which is orange was a color that was synonymous with the struggle for the Jewish communities in Gaza, that the big people supporting them were from Judea and Samaria. So we wanted to keep that spirit alive in the orange color.
Yeah.
Okay? So what happened was...
Now, I'm going to interrupt you. I don't mean to. Where in the world did that little girl get that red hair?
Okay, so we have a daughter who is a year and a half.
Wow.
That has orange hair.
She looks like my niece. She's a very pretty young lady.
We also have a son that has orange hair, and he's 4. Now, these two children were born after we started our company, Dape Katom, which means the orange pages. So the big joke is that, you know, as we started our company,
orange,
now we have orange hair kids. So, I don't know, maybe God wanted us to have mascots or something.
Wow.
But anyway, so we're promoting more than 2,000 businesses. We're getting a lot of traffic to our website. We're making an impact on the local economy. We know this, and we're seeing it.
Yeah.
And what we actually just started to do was, because it is in Hebrew, and we do want to be on a global platform and give everybody, the lovers of Israel, the ones that are following Michael Gano,
yeah,
I'm sending you chocolate bars, you're amazing, I will tell the Jewish people they're great, I want to be... People, you're giving people a vessel to connect with the Jewish people, right, in Israel.
Right.
So that's what we're doing with our new online boutique. It's called Boutique Katom, bkatom.co.il, bkatom.co.il. We're selling prints and paintings from artists from Judea and Samaria, and you have to understand about art. Art is something that an artist stands in front of this blank canvas, and depending on their mood, are they in a lofty mood, are they in a bad mood, or whatever mood they're in, and then their surroundings around them. And they're living in the original Bible Belt, right? The the original Bible Belt of the world.
Exactly.
And they're putting it out on these canvases and their paintings. So we're selling these paintings on Boutique Atom. And what are we doing with the money? Are we just giving? Are we claiming that we're just helping the economy by supporting the artists and supporting ourselves? No. If we end up, if I had $1 million for each and every artist to give to them tomorrow, it would affect the economy zero. We're not. That's not the point. Are they going to make money from the paintings? Of course they are. But where? What's the point of Boutique Atom? Boutique Atom. The whole point is so we can earn more revenue, so we can reinvest it back into our local campaign.
Right.
That we could say, okay, now we have another $2,000 a month. We have another $3,000 a month. And if you, you're the one listening on the radio right now on the internet. If you go on right now, then we could build a website for a company that needs more exposure, that they could get more business.
Wow.
Okay. Whatever it is, we can help people. If we subsidize their, if we subsidize services and we increase promotions, not only within Judea and Samaria, but throughout the country as well. And we could get products to Holland, we could get products to Alabama, we could do products to whatever it is, move products so we could really make a big difference. And it's not just about just bringing in money. It's about creating jobs.
Right.
It's about keeping companies open. And it's about giving more opportunities for young people to stay here. And when young people are staying here and they have a job, what happens?
They get married. They spend money.
They get married and they have children. Okay?
Yeah.
So this is the way to do it, I think.
It's absolutely. It's beautiful.
We're not going out talking. We're not on a soapbox, although we're here on a radio show, obviously.
But you're still getting the word out of your actions.
Right. Our actions, what we're doing on the ground, is we're picking up the pen of history. I keep saying this. And in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I want companies to say, without Dapek Atom, without Boutique Atom, without what we're doing, there was nobody out there that was doing what you were doing. You gave us the opportunities to grow.
Right.
You didn't make our business. I made my business. You know, I'm not making businesses. But what I'm doing is I'm giving these people more tools to be more likely to be successful.
Right.
Okay? No matter how many tools I give, if there's a business person that's not good at their work.
Right. If the tools stay in the box.
Yeah. There's nothing I can do to help.
Right.
But if there's somebody who's giving 100% that just needs that little push, that needs a little exposure to get to the next level, that's what we're doing. But we're not doing this on an individual. We're doing this with 2,000 businesses.
Wow. That's amazing.
2,000.
That's amazing. Now, do you guys have any plans for an English website?
No, so that's what it is.
Here's the other guy with red hair. Look at that fella. Handsome fella. What's up, buddy?
Give high five?
It's okay. He's
a little shy.
It's all good. So, do you have any? Because I was buying Israeli before I came here.
Right.
I was even doing things like buying little bracelets that for the IDF and stuff like that. Look, it's small, but every little bit helps.
Right.
So, is there something we can do as an American that
So here's the thing. So the boutique is in English.
Okay.
The whole boutique is in English.
And we're gonna make sure that the listeners can find the website when I do the promotion of the show.
Okay, great. So the thing is, can I play with my hair? Yeah. No. We're gonna edit this, right? Okay.
No, this is all good. People wanna hear this stuff and they love it.
My son wants to play with this helicopter that we got him on a trip to America.
Nice. You got an extra one of those?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't
offer you. It's okay. Go ahead. So he wants the helicopter from the United States?
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, brother.
No problem.
A fresh pair,
not shipped from across the country, maybe, but only about a half-hour drive.
Nice.
So they actually pick the pears when they're almost ripe off the tree.
Wow.
So what you get is you need a napkin when you eat a pear.
Wow, it's just
because it's
delicious.
Just dripping with juice.
Oh my gosh!
If you haven't had Israeli fruit before, I want your listeners to understand something first: is that when you go to the supermarket in America, you're buying your potatoes from Idaho, and you're buying your oranges from Florida, and you're buying your apples from California, and your grapes from California. If you live in New Jersey, man, you live somewhere where the produce is being shipped by a truck in the middle of the summer, it's being picked too early, and it's being stored in storehouses.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it gets, it's dry as a bone.
Yeah.
And people have lost complete understanding of exactly how fruit should taste. It's amazing.
The fruit here is amazingly big, too. It's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. So, getting back to the business side.
Right. So here's the thing. As far as our boutique, the structure of the boutique is like this. If you're looking for, $3 pins that says, I support Israel, then you should go somewhere of the 300,000 other websites that are out there
right.
that are selling these pins.
Right.
If you're looking for unique items, I mean, right now we're starting with paintings. We hope to start building up an inventory of other things in the near future. We just launched. If you're looking to bring, and this is important, if you're looking to bring the energy, the spirit of the land of Israel into your home, what better way can you do that? By capturing the spirit of an artist who is embedded into this land,
right.
who's part of this land, who puts their interpretation into an empty canvas for the world, to share with the world.
Yeah.
Okay? And by the way, our prices are price to sell. And I'm not like, you know, Crazy Eddie, you know, our right. prices are insane. You know,
right.
I don't know if your listenership is old enough to remember that. but you know, again, we're not selling cheap items. We're selling very high-end, beautiful prints that are printed on the highest quality canvas, ink, everything. We want to make sure that we're delivering the most beautiful, not only quality, but spiritual. Bring it into your home. Teach your kids the importance of the land of Israel.
Right.
By what Absolutely. Better way to do that? By example. By saying, it's so important that I'm over our dining room table, I'm going to put out this beautiful painting of the rolling hills of the Shomron with beautiful olive trees and this. And you see the beautiful coastline, and that's the land of Israel.
Yeah.
That's the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
That's the Bible Belt.
Right.
So bring the Bible Belt into your home.
Absolutely.
The original Bible Belt into your Bible Belt home.
Now, what other businesses are involved? Because you got 2,000. That's a lot. Wow.
We've got everything from doctors to plumbers to cleaning ladies to accountants to tourism, everything, you name it, we got it.
Is A to Z Zahava Englard's business? Is she going to be?
I'm not so sure that she's promoting to cater to
just this area. It's
no, to people who live in Israel,
right?
Or she, I'm not so sure where she's focusing.
Yeah,
but. She has a space on our website anytime she wants it.
Yeah, nice. So what we're going to do is, Kenneth, we're going to get this website promoted because, look, we don't know when folks are going to make Aliyah, when they're going to come home, and they need this kind of service, especially if they're one of the – there's two kinds of folks in the world, the few and the many.
Mm-hmm.
And folks that live in this area, they're definitely part of the few, and I respect that. And I think it's amazing that you would – come up with that kind of business structure
right.
to help all of these businesses interact.
Let me just tell you that an option for us was to take the route of being a nonprofit. And when you're a nonprofit, what happens? You go to donors and you get your budget for the year, and you realize by month 7 that you just drained most of your budget. So you go back to the donor, you try to find more donors.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're functioning in a way that you're reliant on other people.
Right.
And that's not what the people of Judea and Samaria are about. It's not what the people of Israel are about.
Right.
We're not reliant on other people. We're not asking for free money.
Right.
Yeah, we're asking for money, but we're earning it. We're gonna tell you that by helping the people in Judea and Samaria to buy something.
Yeah.
It's not one of these campaigns just by Israel, because you're gonna support. Like, those are great. But in actuality, you're supporting the corporate structure of those individual companies that, yes, there might be a bit of a trickle-down effect. But when we're taking our revenue and we're reinvested directly into our local campaign, so these businesses that we've already proven to help succeed even more, there's nothing like it.
That's very counteractive in comparison to what the left, what the Euros are trying to do and things, as they're trying to boycott the businesses
they're
here.
Trying to destroy.
Yeah, we're trying to choke you out. That's amazing that you have created this business design to help keep the money continuing flowing
right.
into this area, so when they do, as they do try to fight you continuously, that you're able to self-sustain.
Exactly.
And that's you know, look, that's important. It's amazing what you've done. Kenneth, we're going to have you back. I'm sorry, this went by quick, man.
That's great.
We're going to have you back. I want to say thank you for coming on. And you got a beautiful family. Thank you for having me in your home.
Thank you.
Elisheva, it's been a pleasure, man.
You're welcome again anytime you want.
And we're going to come. We're going to do a deeper tour.
With your radio listeners.
Definitely, most definitely.
You have to invite them over. You have to invite them to come.
We're going
to
have them to come. And listen, I promote it. I promote it, shoes. Yeah. Kenneth, thank you for everything. God bless you. God bless Israel. God bless those in the grassroots of the United States that support Israel.
Amen.
This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel.